Bills piling up? CME can help you wrap up your debt into one simple, manageable signature loan with rates starting as low as 8.75% APR. Instead of juggling stacks of statements, let CME help you unwrap peace of mind this season. Federally insured by NCUA, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Subject to membership eligibility and approval. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Red. The Arizona sun did not shine. It hammered. It beat against the rocky outcrop of the mesa, baking the scrub brush and turning the air into a shimmering curtain of heat distortion. Jacob Miller lay prone on the edge of the ridge, his body pressed into the dust, motionless as the stones around him. To anyone looking up from the valley floor, he was invisible. Just another shadow in a landscape composed of nothing but harsh light and deep shade. But Jacob wasn't looking at the rocks. His eye was welded to the scope of his sniper rifle, his breathing shallow and rhythmic, a metronome counting down the seconds of his life. Below him, the horde moved like a slow necrotic river, thousands of them. They shuffled through the canyon, a mass of gray flesh and tattered clothing, their moans rising up the canyon walls like the buzzing of a disturbed hive. Jacob pulled his face away from the scope for a moment, blinking the sweat from his eyes. He reached to his side, his gloved fingers finding the leather-bound ledger that never left his person. He opened it. The pages crinkled, stiff with dry desert air. Page after page of names written in his neat lawman's script, all crossed out with a thick red line. Liberated. He turned to the last page. There was only one name left. It stood alone, stark and accusing, against the white paper. Betsy Miller. He stared at the name until the letters blurred, then forced himself to look back through the scope. He began the grid search again. Sector 1. Sector 2. He scanned the faces that were no longer faces, jaws missing, skin sloughed off like wet paper, eyes clouded with the milk of death. He knew them. He knew the mailman. He knew the mechanic from the auto shop. He had liberated them all over the last 6 months. But he hadn't found her. Then the river of bodies shifted, parting around a stalled sedan. And there she was. Jacob's breath hitched, the crosshairs settled on her chest. She was wearing the floral print dress she had worn to the church picnic, the one with the small blue daisies. It was torn at the shoulder now, stained dark with fluids he didn't want to identify. But it was her. Her blonde hair matted, hanging in strings around her face. But the tilt of her head was unmistakable. She was drifting near the back of the pack, aimless, lost. Jacob's finger tightened on the trigger. He calculated the windage, 300 yards, a slight cross breeze from the west. He could end it right now. A 308 round through the brainstem, she would drop instantly. She would be free. He exhaled, preparing to squeeze, but his finger wouldn't move. No, the voice in his head whispered. Not like this. Not from a distance. Not like she's just another target. She was his wife. She was the woman who had straightened his tie before his swearing-in ceremony. She was the woman who had held his hand when they lost their first baby. She deserved to see him. She deserved to be held, even if she couldn't feel it. Jacob engaged the safety and pulled the rifle back. He sat up, sliding down the reverse slope of the ridge until he was out of sight. He reached into his pack and pulled out a plastic spray bottle filled with a dark amber liquid. Deer urine, high concentration. It was a hunter's trick, refined by the apocalypse. He sprayed it liberally over his boots, his cargo pants, his chest, and finally, closing his eyes against the sting, misted it into his hair and beard. The smell was acrid, pungent enough to make his eyes water, a biological wall that smelled of musk and ammonia. It would hide the scent of his living blood from the predators below. He left the heavy rifle in the rocks. He wouldn't need it where he was going. He checked the .22 pistol on his hip, quiet, intimate, and began his descent. Jacob moved into the valley floor like a ghost. He slipped into the back of the horde, matching their gait. The smell of the dead was overwhelming down here, a physical weight of rot and decay. But the deer musk held. A walker in a torn business suit bumped into him, snarling, sniffing the air, but then turned away, disinterested. Jacob pushed forward. He kept his eyes on the blue daisies. "I'm coming, Betts. I'm here." He waded through the sea of bodies, gently shoving aside the monsters that blocked his path. He was 50 yards away, then 20, then 10. She was facing away from him, her head lolling to the side. He could see the nape of her neck, the familiar curve of her spine. Tears, hot and stinging, mixed with the sweat on his face. He reached out a hand.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The sound shattered the air. It was a train whistle, loud, piercing, and mechanical. It echoed off the canyon walls, drowning out the moans of the dead. Jacob froze. A train? Here? Who was running a locomotive? Suddenly the canyon was bathed in a harsh strobe light flashing. Along the rusted tracks that ran parallel to the wash, a massive freight train had ground to a halt. It was sleek, black, and ominous. As the whistle blew again, a frantic, erratic pattern, the heavy sliding doors of the boxcars groaned open automatically. Metal ramps telescoped out from the cars, slamming into the dirt with a heavy clang. Deep inside the cars, light pulsed, a high-frequency tone, barely audible to Jacob, but clearly agonizing to the dead, began to scream. The horde reacted instantly. It was a conditioned response, a herd instinct triggered by the noise and light. They turned as one, a singular organism, and surged toward the tracks. "No!" Jacob gasped. Betsy turned with them. Her milky eyes reflected the strobe lights, void of recognition, void of humanity. She began to run, stumbling, drawn like a moth to the flame. "Betsy!" Jacob screamed, his voice lost in the cacophony of the whistle and the stampede. He was caught in the crush, bodies slammed into him from all sides. He lost his footing, fell and scrambled back up. Kicking a snapper away from his boot, the current of the dead was dragging him towards the ramps. He fought against it, swimming through the rotting limbs, his eyes locked on the blue floral dress. She was halfway up the ramp to the third car. "Betsy!" Jacob lowered his shoulder and plowed through a cluster of walkers. He hit the metal ramp, his boots ringing on the steel. He scrambled up, shoving zombies off the side, not caring if they bit him, not caring about anything but the woman entering the dark maw of the train car. He dove inside the boxcar just as the hydraulics hissed. It was dark inside, smelling of ozone and old blood. Dozens of zombies were already inside, standing in a trance-like state, pacified by the humming tone. Betsy was near the back, swaying. Jacob lunged for her. He grabbed her arm. She spun, snarling her teeth, snapping inches from his face. She didn't know him. She only knew hunger. "It's me! It's Jacob!" he grunted, wrestling her thrashing form. Outside, the whistle blew a final long note. The ramps began to retract. The heavy doors started to slide shut. He couldn't let her go. He couldn't let them take her. Jacob wrapped his arms around her waist, pinning her arms to the side, and drove his legs into the floor. He charged the closing gap. "We are leaving!" he roared. He hit the daylight just as the door slammed shut, grazing his heel. They tumbled out of the moving train, hitting the gravel embankment hard. Jacob took the brunt of the fall, rolling to protect her, shielding her body with his own as they slid down the slope into the dust. The train was already picking up speed, the wheels screeching against the rails. Jacob lay in the dirt, gasping for air, his arms locked around his wife's waist. She was clawing at the dirt, trying to crawl back toward the train, toward the noise. He held her tight, his face pressed into the back of her ruined dress. As the train gathered momentum, Jacob looked up. The train moved past him. Standing on the exterior walkway, gripping the railing with one hand, was a man. He wore a pristine white lab coat over a shirt and tie. His hair was gray, his face sharp and intellectual. He looked down at Jacob and the thrashing woman in the dirt. And he smiled. It was a cold, clinical smile. A smile of ownership. "Who?" Jacob breathed, the name a mystery as much as the man to him. The train sped up, a snake of steel carrying hundreds of souls away into the desert, heading toward the mountains in the north. Jacob watched until the caboose disappeared around the bend, leaving them in a sudden ringing silence. The adrenaline faded, leaving only the grief. Betsy had stopped struggling. The stimulus of the train was gone. She pushed herself up to her knees, looking around confusedly. She tilted her head, listening to the wind. Jacob sat up. He wiped the dust from his face. He looked at her, really looked at her. One last time. The sun was beginning to set, casting long purple shadows across the canyon. The light softened the ruin of her face, making her look, for a fleeting second, like the girl he had married. He stood up slowly and walked to her. She turned. She looked at him. There was no spark, no Jacob, just a hollow hunger that she didn't have the energy to act on. "I'm sorry it took so long, Bets," Jacob whispered, his voice cracking. "I'm sorry." She took a step toward him, her mouth opening. "I love you," he said. "Be free." He drew the .22 pistol. He didn't tremble. He placed the muzzle gently against her temple, kissing her forehead as he did so. Her body went instantly slack. Jacob caught her, easing her down to the ground so she wouldn't hit the rocks. He laid her out, straightening her legs, crossing her hands over her chest. He brushed the hair out of her eyes. He sat there for a long time, holding her cold hand, watching the stars begin to bleed into the sky. Eventually, the chill of the desert night forced him to move. He walked back to the ridge, retrieved his rifle and his pack, and returned to his jeep, hidden in the wash. He sat in the driver's seat and opened the ledger. He uncapped the red pen. His hand shook now, the tremors finally catching up to him. He found the last name on the last page. Betsy Miller. He didn't cross it out with a single hard line like the others. He ran the pen slowly through the letters, a caress of red ink, turning the name into a memory. Liberated. He closed the book. He put it in the glove box. Jacob reached into the back seat and grabbed the folding shovel. He stepped out of the jeep and walked back toward the woman he loved. The ground was hard and the night was long, but he would not leave her for the vultures. He would dig until his hands bled. He would give her this last dignity before he turned his eyes north, toward the mountains, and toward the man in the white coat.